नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणि प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यदेशधारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव शाति गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। So we'll start. I've been requested to take this sixth chapter of third canto also because another description of universal form. So after Maitreya and Vidura met. Incidentally, the first question asked by Vidura was also about the creation of this material universe. So, in response to that question, fifth chapter is over for you. Third canto. No, third canto is not started yet. Okay. So, in the third canto, fifth chapter. The initial creation was described, the Karana Srishti, as we saw in the 2.5. And we were at a stage in the previous chapter, actually just before Karya Srishti starts, all the elements have been created. 3.5 ended with prayers offered by the personified elements, you know. The representatives of, the personified Mahatattva and all of them, they get together and they offer prayers to the Supreme Lord, requesting, "My dear Lord, you have created us for the purpose of assisting you in creating this material world, but we are not able to fulfill that desire of yours because we all are separate. So please do something, bring all of us together and let us contribute in that service of creating this material world, which is your desire. But as of now, for a long time, we have just been created and we are not doing anything. So please do something to bring all of us together so that we can contribute in this creation process." Like the very beautiful prayers they offer in the previous chapter. So chapter 3.5 ended with that. So now 3.6 starts with, what happens after that? What happens after the Supreme Lord hears all these prayers offered by the personified elements? That's where we are right now. That is the prelude to this particular chapter. Prabhupada titles this chapter as Creation of the Universal Form. Okay. So we'll start today's verses. Rishir uvacha ititasam swashakti nam sati nam asametya sah prasupta loka tantranam nishamya gatimishwarah kala samgyam tada devim bibrat shaktim urukramah trayovimshati tatvanam ganam yugapada vishad. More or less what we are going to see is something we have already seen in the second canto, fifth chapter. Very similar description, so we will not take much time. We will try to complete it fast. So here, it is said, Maitreya said, Nishamya prasupta loka tantranam. So after the elements offered their prayers, then the Supreme Lord started looking at the current status. What exactly is happening? Why these elements are offering such prayers? Nishamya, seeing that prasupta loka tantranam, seeing that this whole universal state was in a state of sleeping, which means nothing was moving forward. Saha asametya satinam, because the elements were in a state of separation from each other, they were not mixed together. The Lord, Urukrama, the Supreme Lord, Kala Samgyam Bibrat Shaktim Devim, first by his energy of Bibrat Shakti, the Kala Shakti, first he sent his cohesive energy to bind all the elements together. Okay? So first he sent his Kala Shakti, Bibrat Shakti together. This we saw already in the second canto, fifth chapter. And then all the elements came together and they formed a golden egg. Okay? And if you remember, that golden egg rested in the Karanodaka ocean for 1000 celestial years, after which Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu entered that egg. So those two stages are described, you know, together in this one, in this two verses. So first, by his energy of cohesion appearing through time, Kala Samgyam Bibrat Shaktim Devim, and then subsequently as Antaryami also he entered. The Antaryami mentioned here is Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. Avishat Trayovamshati Tattvanam Ganam Yugapat. He entered the elements which had combined together to form a universal egg. He entered them. That is described here. And again here, because there may be some the chronological order is slightly changed here also. So Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur clarifies here that the chronological order described in the second canto, fifth chapter, is the right order. So he mentions the two steps of Karya Srishti are the same as mentioned in the second canto, fifth chapter, 33rd and 35th verses. He says, first the Lord enters the elements through his cohesive energy, which means he sends his cohesive energy to bind all the elements together. Then after 1000 years, he entered the elements as Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. Okay, like that. And Prabhupada here writes in the purport, there is nothing wanting in the creation of the Lord. All the potencies are in a dormant state. He says, Prasupta Loka Tantranam. They all were in a sleeping, dormant state. But unless they are combined by the will of the Lord, nothing can progress. They have to be combined by the will of the Lord. The suspended progressive work of creation can only be revived by the direction of the Lord. That is described here. So he is first sending his Bibrat Shakti, cohesive energy, to bind, and later he himself, in the form of Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu, he enters to give life to that universe. Sonu pravishto bhagavams cheshta rupena tam ganam bhinnam samyojayamasa suptam karma prabodayan. Saha Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord, cheshta rupena anupravishta, entering by his kriya shakti, prabodayan tam suptam karma, and awakening the dormant karma of the jivas, samyojayamasa bhinnam ganam. Bhinnam ganam means the separated elements, he bound them together. So the same thing that was mentioned in the first two verses is little more elaborated in this third verse. So Srila Prabhupada here writes about this prabodayan tam suptam karma, awakening the dormant karma of the jivas. About that Prabhupada writes here in the purport, every conditioned soul is unconscious at the stage of dissolution. Such jivas, after creation, act according to their past unfinished desires. Whatever, you know, that swabhava is also carried over. So once swabhava indicates one's inclinations, and karma indicates one's karmic residue, whatever they are entitled to. whatever they are entitled to is indicated by karma, and whatever one is inclined to is indicated by swabhava. Such jivas after creation act according to their past unfinished desires. But after the dissolution of a particular body, the jiva forgets everything, but the Lord as super soul awakens him and reminds of his past desires. Thus he starts acting accordingly in his next life. Jiva forgets, but the Lord reminds him, oh, these were your past desires, like that. This unseen guidance is called fate, and this continues his material bondage in the three modes. This continues. The past desires he carries over, and he acts according to his past desires, and the whole thing continues. Prabuddha karma daivena trayo vimshatiko ganaha prerito jana yatsvabhir matrabhir adipurusham. Trayo vimshatiko ganaha, the 23 elements, prabuddha karma, awakening by the action of the kriya shakti, which means they are now ready to combine together and function as they are expected to function. Daivena preritaha, they have received the prerana or the inspiration from the Supreme Lord. Adipurusham ajanayat, they produce this universal form. Swabhi matrabir, by their portions. So same thing that was described in the 5th chapter also. After Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu enters and jivo ajivam ajivayat, when the dead universe was enlivened by the Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu, then the universe started manifesting, meaning the universal form manifested, like that. Okay, we'll continue. So Srila Prabhupada here writes in the purport, the Virat Roop or the Vishwaroop, the gigantic universal form of the Lord, which is very much appreciated by the impersonalist, is not an eternal form of the Lord. It is manifested by the supreme will of the Lord after the ingredients of the material creation. Lord Krishna exhibited this Virat or Vishwaroop to Arjuna just to convince the impersonalist that he is the original personality of Godhead. Which means they cannot accept Krishna, who has a human-like form, to be the original Supreme Lord. But such people they are willing to accept the universal form as the worshipable Lord. Krishna exhibited Virat Roop. It is not that Krishna was exhibited by the Virat Roop. The Virat Roop is not therefore an eternal form of the Lord exhibited in the spiritual sky. It is a material manifestation of the Lord. The Archa Vigraha or the worshipable deity in the temple is a similar manifestation of the Lord for the neophytes. But in spite of their material touch, such forms of the Lord as the Virat and Archa are all non-different from his eternal form as Lord Krishna. Even though they are made of stones, the Archa Vigraha is also made of stone, but for the devotees, you know, when the Pran Pratishtha is done, it is as good as the eternal spiritual form of the Lord. It can bestow the same benefits. The same way, for one who is qualified to meditate on the Virat form of the Lord, even though the Virat form is made of matter, but if meditation on the Virat Roop is carried out under bona fide guidance, even though that form of the Lord is made of matter, but still that can bestow the required benefit, required purification can happen. Same thing Prabhupada is mentioning here in this purport. Parena vishata swasmin matraya vishvasrigganah chukshobanyonyam asadya yasmin lokascharacharah. Vishvasrigganah means the elements of universal creation, all these elements. Parena, they combine together by the Lord. Vishata Swasmin Matraya, who had entered in his Paramatma feature, who had entered, they got together. Anyonyam Chukshoba Asadya. Initially they formed a fetus, which means it's not the completely expanded universal form. Okay, fetus is not the completely developed child. You know, it's in a small fetal form. Yasmin lokaha characharaha, in which all the planets and living entities exist. In the undifferentiated form, they all exist there. Now, this whole differentiation is going to happen now. So, Srila Prabhupada here mentions in the purport, matter is a product of spirit and increases only by the touch of the spirit. See here, when till Garbhodak Sai Vishnu entered, this universe is described to be in the form of a fetus. Okay, if in the mother's womb, if there is only a living force, only then the fetus will grow into a full-fledged child. If there is no living force, then you know nothing will grow. So Prabhupada is telling growth can happen only when the touch of spirit is there. So now this universe is going to grow into a full-fledged, from the fetal form to a full-fledged universal form. Okay, and he says that is due to the presence of spirit. Here the spirit mentioned here is Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. The entire cosmic manifestation has not assumed its gigantic form by itself, as wrongly calculated by less intelligent persons. As long as spirit is within matter, matter can increase as needed. But without the spirit, matter stops increasing. For example, as long as there is spiritual consciousness within the material body of a living entity, the body increases to the required size. But a dead material body, which has no spiritual consciousness, stops increasing. Like that. The entire cosmic body increased by the same process that we experience in our small bodies. Same thing. Prabhupada is mentioning that the same way ordinary bodies, they also increase in size when there is spirit. In the same way, the universal body also increased in size because of the presence of spirit. One should not, however, foolishly think that the individual infinitesimal soul is the cause of the gigantic manifestation of the universal form. The universal form is called Virat Rupa because the Supreme Lord is within it in his plenary portion, as Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu, like that. Hiranmayasa Purushaha Sahasra Parivatsaran Andakosha Uvasapsu Sarva Sattvopa Brahmhitaha. This golden universal form containing all the resting jivas remained in the waters within the universe for 1,000 years. Again, you see here, there is a mix-up in chronology. This step is mentioned after Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu has entered. But actually, this happens before Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu enters after the 1,000-year period in which the universal egg is lying on the Karanodaka ocean. Savai Vishvasrijam Garbo Deva Karmatma Shaktiman Vibhajatman Atmanam Ekada Dashadatrida. This fetus composed of the elements endowed with Jiva Shakti, Prana Shakti and Atma Shakti. Deva Karma Atma Shaktiman Atmanam Vibhaja. It divided itself up into Ekada Dashada Trida. Into one part, three parts and 10 parts. Okay. What are these one part, three parts and 10 parts we are going to see now. So each description has some additional detail about creation. So the one part is the Jiva Shakti. The 10 parts are the Prana Shakti. You know, there are 5 principal pranas and 5 secondary pranas. And the 3 parts is the Atma Shakti. Adhyatmik, Adibhautik and Adidevik. Like that. So Srila Prabhupada here writes here in the purport. Consciousness is the sign of the living entity or the soul. The existence of the soul is manifest in the form of consciousness called Jnana Shakti. The total consciousness is that of the gigantic Virat Roop, and the same consciousness is exhibited in individual persons. So basically Prabhupada is explaining here this Ekada, one Jiva Shakti. That is what Prabhupada is addressing here. Then he talks about the Prana Shakti. How many Prana Shaktis are there? 10. The next line onwards he describes about that. The activity of consciousness is performed through the air of life, which is of 10 divisions. The airs of life are called Prana, Apana, Udana, Vyana and Samana. They are the primary pranas. They have their own functions. And the secondary pranas are Naga, Kurma, Krikara, Devadatta and Dhananjaya. They all have different functions. One of the pranas aids in yawning, and another aids in closing of eyelids and opening of eyelids. Like that, each one of the bodily function is controlled by either the one of the five primary pranas or the five secondary pranas. The consciousness of the soul becomes polluted by the material atmosphere, and thus the various activities are exhibited in the false ego of bodily identification. Then, in the last part of the purport, Prabhupada talks about the three Atma Shaktis. This consciousness is divided into three modes of self-identification according to the proportion of purity. Adhyatmik, or self-identification with the body and mind. Adibhautik, or self-identification with the material products. And Adidaivik, or self-identification as the servant of the Lord. Of the three, Adidaivik self-identification is the beginning of purity of consciousness in pursuance of the desire of the Lord. Okay. Prabhupada here translates this Adidaivik as being self-identification as the servant of the Lord. Okay. Like that. Esha hi ashesha sattvanam atmamsha paramatmanah adyovataro yatrasau bhutagramo vibhavyate. Esha hi atma ashesha sattvanam. Esha hi atma ashesha sattvanam. This form is the soul of unlimited beings. This universal form is the soul of unlimited beings. Paramatmanah amshah. It is the jiva in relation to the paramatma. Just like in the individual bodies, the individual living entities are the atma. Shirodakasaya Vishnu is the paramatma. When it comes to the universal form, the conglomerate of all the living entities, all the jivas, which is called Hiranyagarbha, that Hiranyagarbha is the jiva and Garbhodakasaya Vishnu is the Paramatma. That's what is described here. Adhyaha avatarah. It is seen as the original avatar, because only after the universe is differentiated or formed, subsequently the other avatars like Shakti Avesh avatars, Guna avatars and all the avatars can manifest only after the Virat Purusha is manifest. Therefore, here this Virat Purusha is called the Adhya Avatara, the original avatar. Asau yatra bhutagramaha vibhavyate. And within this universal form, all living beings appear. We know this. Okay, let's continue. Sadhyatma sadhi daivascha sadhi bhuta iti trida virat prano dashavida ekada hridayena cha. So now in this verse, what is this ekada, dashada, trida is described? Okay. Trida, the three atma shaktis are sa adhyatmaha, sa adidaivaha, స అధిభూత ఇది. ఓకే, అధ్యాత్మ, అధిదైవ అండ్ అధిభూత. ఆర్ అధ్యాత్మ ఇస్ ది సటిల్ సెన్సెస్ అండ్ అధిదైవ ఆర్ ద సెన్స్ దేవతాస్ అండ్ అధిభూత ఆర్ ది గ్రాస్ ఎలిమెంట్స్. విరాట్ దశవిధ ప్రాణ అండ్ ద యూనివర్సల్ ఫార్మ్ హస్ 10 కైండ్స్ ఆఫ్ ప్రాణశక్తిస్ వి ఆల్రెడీ సా ఇన్ ద పర్పోర్ట్ అండ్ ఏకదా హృదయేన చ అండ్ వన్ జీవశక్తి విత్ అన్బ్రోకన్ కాన్షియస్నెస్. దట్స్ వాట్ ప్రభుపాద్ ఇస్ రైటింగ్ హియర్ ఇన్ ది పర్పోర్ట్ ఆఫ్ ద 7th వర్స్. హీ సేస్ ద టోటల్ కాన్షియస్నెస్ ఈస్ దట్ ఆఫ్ ద జైగాంటిక్ విరాట్ రూప్ అండ్ ద సేమ్ కాన్షియస్నెస్ ఇస్ ఎగ్జిబిటెడ్ ఇన్ ఇండివిజువల్ పర్సన్స్. దట్స్ వాట్ ఇస్ మెన్షన్డ్ హియర్ ఎస్ వన్ జీవశక్తి విత్ అన్బ్రోకన్ కాన్షియస్నెస్. ఆఫ్ కోర్స్ దిస్ ఇస్ ఆల్సో అన్ ఇమాజినేషన్ ఇన్ వన్ సెన్స్. ఓకే, బికాస్ దెర్ ఆర్ సో మెనీ ఇండివిజువల్ లివింగ్ ఎంటిటీస్ విత్ డిఫరెంట్ డిజైర్స్, బట్ ఇఫ్ యూ హ్యావ్ టు ఇమాజిన్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ దెమ్ యాజ్ వన్ విరాట్ పురుష, యూ కెనాట్ ఇమాజిన్ ఇట్ టు బి అన్లిమిటెడ్ నంబర్ ఆఫ్ జీవాస్ హ్యావింగ్ అన్లిమిటెడ్ నంబర్ ఆఫ్ డిఫరెంట్ డిజైర్స్ ఇన్ డిఫరెంట్ డైరెక్షన్స్. ఇట్ హ్యాస్ టు బి ఇమాజిన్ టు బి వన్ జీవ విత్ అన్బ్రోకన్ కాన్షియస్నెస్. దట్స్ ది మెడిటేషన్ లైక్ దట్. అదర్వైజ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ లైక్ ఎ హ్యూమన్ బాడీ ఇన్ విచ్ దర్ ఈస్ వన్ ప్రిన్సిపల్ సోల్ అండ్ దర్ ఆర్ సో మెనీ జర్మ్స్ బ్యాక్టీరియాస్ యూనో మల్టిపుల్ థౌజండ్స్ అండ్ మిలియన్స్ ఆఫ్ అదర్ సోల్స్ విత్ ఇన్ ద సేమ్ బాడీ, బట్ దే ఆల్ హ్యావ్ దేర్ ఓన్ డిఫరెంట్ అజెండా, దే హ్యావ్ దర్ డిఫరెంట్ డిజైర్స్ లైక్ దట్. బట్ ఇన్ ఇమాజినింగ్ దిస్ యూనివర్సల్ ఫార్మ్ వన్ హ్యాస్ టు అస్యూమ్ వన్ జీవశక్తి, ఈవెన్ దో అన్లిమిటెడ్ నంబర్ ఆఫ్ జీవాస్ ఆర్ దేర్ ఇన్ ది యూనివర్స్, వన్ హ్యాస్ టు ఇమాజిన్ వన్ జీవశక్తి విత్ అన్బ్రోకన్ కాన్షియస్నెస్. దట్ ఈస్ ది ఇమాజినేషన్. ఓకే, ఆఫ్ కోర్స్ వీ అండర్స్టాండ్ దట్ దిస్ ఇస్ అన్ ఇమాజినరీ ఫామ్, సో వీ డోంట్ ఇమాజిన్ మల్టిపుల్ జీవాస్ విత్ మల్టిపుల్ డిజైర్స్. వన్ హ్యాస్ టు ఇమాజిన్ వన్ జీవశక్తి విత్ అన్ అన్బ్రోకన్ కాన్షియస్నెస్. అన్బ్రోకన్ కాన్షియస్నెస్ మీన్స్ నౌ మై కాన్షియస్నెస్ ఈస్ ఐఎమ్ కాన్షియస్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ బాడీ, బియాండ్ దిస్ బాడీ యు నో మై కాన్షియస్నెస్ బ్రేక్స్ అండ్ దెన్ ద నెక్స్ట్ బాడీ. దిస్ విరాట్ పురుష ఇస్ మేడ్ ఆఫ్ అన్లిమిటెడ్ నంబర్ ఆఫ్ సచ్ సోల్స్ విత్ బ్రోకన్ కాన్షియస్నెస్. దేర్ కాన్షియస్నెస్ ఇస్ దే ఆర్ కాన్షియస్ ఆఫ్ ఓన్లీ దేర్ క్షేత్ర. బట్ ఇన్ ఇమాజినింగ్ దిస్ యూనివర్సల్ ఫార్మ్ వన్ హ్యాస్ టు అస్యూమ్ ఆర్ వన్ హ్యాస్ టు ఇమాజిన్ వన్ అన్బ్రోకన్ కాన్షియస్నెస్, ఈవెన్ దో అన్లిమిటెడ్ నంబర్ ఆఫ్ జీవాస్ ఆర్ దేర్ విత్ బ్రోకన్ కాన్షియస్నెస్ లైక్ దట్. స్మరణ్ విశ్వసృజామీశో విజ్ఞాప్తిం విజ్ఞాపితం అదోక్షజ విరాజం అతపత్స్వేన చేద్ తేజసైషాం వివృత్తయే. ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్ భగవాన్ స్మరణ్ విశ్వసృజాం విజ్ఞాపితం. విజ్ఞాపితం మీన్స్ ది ప్రేయర్స్ ఆఫర్డ్ బై ది పర్సానిఫైడ్ ఎలిమెంట్స్. ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్ రిమెంబర్డ్ దీస్ ప్రేయర్స్. విరాజం అతపత్ అండ్ హీ డిసైడెడ్ దట్ ఓకే ది యూనివర్సల్ ఫామ్ నీడ్స్ టు బి క్రియేటెడ్ నౌ. ఓకే, అగైన్ యూ సీ దర్ ఇస్ అ సార్ట్ ఆఫ్ క్రొనలాజికల్ జంబుల్ హియర్. ఓన్లీ బికాస్ ఆఫ్టర్ ద ఎలిమెంట్స్ ఆఫర్డ్ దర్ ప్రేయర్స్ ఆఫ్టర్ దట్ హీ హ్యాస్ ఆల్రెడీ సెంట్ ఇస్ బిబ్రత్ శక్తి, హీ హ్యాస్ ఆల్రెడీ బ్రాట్ దెమ్ టుగెదర్, ఇట్ హెస్ ఫార్మ్డ్ అ ఫీటస్ అండ్ గర్భోదక సాయి విష్ణు హ్యాస్ ఎంటర్డ్, ఆల్ దట్ డిస్క్రిప్షన్ ఇస్ దేర్ హ్యాస్ ఆల్రెడీ బీన్ గివన్ అండ్ నౌ హీ ఈస్ ఇండికేటింగ్ దట్ ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్ రిమెంబర్డ్ ద ప్రేయర్స్ ఆఫ్ ద పర్సానిఫైడ్ ఎలిమెంట్స్. ఇస్ ఆల్రెడీ బీన్ డిస్కస్డ్. విరాజం అతపతి, హీ డిసైడెడ్ టు క్రియేట్ దిస్ యూనివర్సల్ ఫామ్ స్వేన తేజస బై హిస్ చిత్ శక్తి. ఏషాం వివృత్తయే, సో దట్ ది ఎలిమెంట్స్ కుడ్ పర్ఫార్మ్ దేర్ డిజైర్డ్ ఫంక్షన్స్. ఓకే, లైక్ దట్. ఓకే, లెట్స్ కంటిన్యూ. అత తస్యాభితప్తస్య కతిధాయతనానిహ నిరభిద్యంత దేవానాం తాని మే గదత శృణు. తస్య, ఇన్ దిస్ యూనివర్సల్ ఫామ్ అభితప్తస్య విచ్ హ్యాడ్ అపియర్డ్, ఆయతనాని నిరభిద్యంత. ఆయతనాని మీన్స్ వేరియస్ ప్లేసెస్ ఆర్ వేరియస్ బాడీలీ పార్ట్స్ మేనిఫెస్టెడ్ కతిదా దేవానాం ఫర్ ద వేరియస్ సెన్స్ దేవతాస్ టు స్టే. తాని మే గదత శృణు. హియర్ వైల్ ఐఎమ్ గోయింగ్ టు డిస్క్రైబ్ యూ అబౌట్ హౌ దీస్ వేరియస్ బాడీలీ పార్ట్స్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ విరాట్ పురుష ఫార్మ్డ్ లైక్ దట్. ఓకే, సో ఓకే, సో దిస్ డిస్క్రిప్షన్ ఓకే బికాస్ it's not complete. Okay. Tasyagnirasyam nirbinnam lokapalo vishatpadam vacha swamshena vaktavyam yaya sau pratipadyate. So this morning, whatever order we saw, this is more or less similar description, except that the desires are not mentioned. This morning we saw when the universal form desired to see, first the gross eyes manifested and then the subtle eye and the sense devata, they manifested. After that the form manifested. Okay, but this description is almost similar except that the desires are not mentioned. Okay, but otherwise this is the same krama. First the gross eyes, then the subtle eyes and the sense devata, and then the sense tanmatra. They all are manifest in the same krama. That is described. More otherwise, it's the same description as what we saw this morning. So we can quickly go through this. When the mouth became differentiated, Agni, the presiding deity, Agni is the presiding deity of speech. Okay. Agnir lokapalaha padamavishat. After the place for residence became ready, then Agni moved in there. Vacha vaktavyam, along with the sense object voice. Sva amshena, by which the universal form could utter words. Like that. నిర్భిన్నం తాలు వరుణో లోకపాలో విషధరే జిహ్వయాంశేన చ రసం యయాసౌ ప్రతిపద్యతే. వెన్ ది పలేట్ ఆఫ్ దట్ ఫార్మ్ బికేమ్ డిఫరెన్షియేటెడ్, తాలు దట్ ఈస్ ది గ్రాస్ టంగ్, వెన్ దట్ బికేమ్ మేనిఫెస్ట్, వరుణ విజ్ హూ ఈస్ ది సెన్స్ దేవత, హీ మూవ్డ్ ఇన్ అలాంగ్ విత్ జిహ్వా, హూ ఈస్ కన్సిడర్డ్ టు బి ది అంశ ఆఫ్ వరుణ. The subtle sense organ is the amsha of Varuna. They moved in there and then subsequently taste manifested. That is the... Okay. Then, Nirbinne Ashvinaunase Vishno Ravishatam Padam Ghrane Namshena Gandasya Pratipattiryato Bhavet. Then the nostrils of the universal form, Nasika, the gross nose, it became manifest. Then Ashwini Kumaras, along with Ghrana, they moved into that Nasika. And then subsequently smell was created. That is described in this 14th verse. Nirbinne Akshini Tvashta Lokapalo Vishad Viboho Chakshusham Shena Rupanam Pratipattiryato Bhavet. Then, Akshini Nirbinne, when the gross eyes of the universal form manifested, then in that, Surya Dev along with Chakshu, the subtle eye, they moved in and then form was created. Nirbinnanyasya Charmani Lokapalo Nilo Vishat Prane Namshena Samsparsham Yena Saupratipadyate. So then, the Charma, the gross skin manifested. okay, and then the presiding deity Vayu, along with his portion, the subtle skin, they manifested. Then the sense of touch also manifested. That is described in the 16th verse. Karna vasya vinirbin nav dishnyam svam vivishur dishah shrotrenam shena shabdasya siddhim yena prapadyate. Then the gross ears Karna manifested. Then the digdevatas along with shrotra, they moved in there. And then sound that manifested. Tvacham asya vinirbinnam vivishurdishnyamoshadihi amshena romabirkandum yairasau pratipadyate. See, actually it is described that skin has two sense organs, one that aids touch and another that aids itching. Okay, so it is mentioned that romabir, hair is the sense devata who is responsible for the itching. Okay, that is described here. Medram tasya vinirbinnam swadishnyam ka upavishat retasam shena yena sav anandam pratipadyate. Then when the gross reproductive organ manifested, then Prajapati Daksha, who is the presiding deity, along with the subtle sense organ, they also manifested. Then the tanmatra of bliss of sexual union, that also manifested. That is described in this 19th verse. Gudampum so vinirbinnam mitro lokesha avishat payunam shena yena sau visargam pratipadyate. See, I am not spending too much time because the same description we saw this morning. So that's why I am just going little fast. Okay. So then when the gross organ for expulsion that manifested, then the Mitra, who is the sense devata, along with the subtle expulsion organ, they manifested. Then the sense object of the excretory function that manifested. Hastavasya vinirbinnav indrasvarpatira vishat vartayam shena purusho yaya vrittim prapadyate. Asya hastav vinirbinnav. Then the two gross hands manifested, and then Indra, who is the sense devata, along with the subtle hands or the subtle sense organ of Adanam that we saw in the previous Vartaya, or buying and selling, that which is performed with the hands, barter, that manifested. And then the sense object of vritti, livelihood. In most cases, the means of livelihood is whatever it is done using hands, whether it is an IT professional or someone who is weaving cloth or someone who is churning buttermilk, whatever it may be. The source, the vritti, whatever is the means of livelihood, for most people is carried out using the hands. That is indicated here. Padavasya vinirbinnau lokesho vishnura vishat gatya swamshena purusho yaya prapyam prapadyate. Then the gross feet manifested, and the presiding deity of sometimes it's mentioned as Upendra, sometimes Vishnu. So he, along with the subtle feet, which means the ability to move the body from one place to another, that manifested. And subsequently, the sense or the sense tanmatra of attaining the destination, prapyam, that manifested. Buddhim chasya vinirbinnam vagish dishnyama vishad bodhenam shena bodhavyam pratipattiryato bhavet. Then, as we saw this morning, the heart is the residing place for the four antakaranas. In that portion of the heart in which the intelligence is situated, that formed, then the presiding deity of intelligence, Brahmaji, he moved in there along with Buddhi. And the sense object of intelligence is Bodhavyam. Bodhavyam means understanding. As Krishna says, Karmano hi api bodhavyam, bodhavyam cha vikarmanah, akarmanas cha bodhavyam, gahana karmano gati. Bodhavyam means understanding. Okay. Hridayam chasya nirbinnam chandrama adishnyama vishat manasam shena yenasau vikriyam pratipadyate. And then when the section of the heart which houses the mind, when that got created, then the presiding deity Chandra, he moved in along with the mind, and then mental actions of sankalpa, vikalpa, they manifested. Atmanam chasya nirbinnam abhimano vishat padam karmanam shena yenasau kartavyam pratipadyate. And then when the portion of the heart in which ahankar is situated, when that got created, Rudra, who is the presiding deity of ahankar, he moved in there along with ahankar, which is the subtle antakarana. By ahankar, kartavyam pratipadyate, the identifying oneself, that became manifest, ahankar, that manifest. Why two times? Here, because here Vidura wanted to hear about this description of creation of universal form. This is the first request that he put forth to Maitreya. And Prabhupada mentions in one of the purport that whether it is Parikshit Maharaj requesting Shukadeva Goswami or Vidura requesting Maitreya, they are following a specific krama. Even though Vidura had, with so much eagerness, he was ready to hear from Uddhava, but when Uddhava sent him to Maitreya, he runs all the way from the banks of Yamuna to the banks of Ganga, searching for Maitreya's ashram. Finally he meets, but still he, and even though it's a one-on-one conversation between Maitreya and Vidura, but still Prabhupada says in the purport that he follows the proper krama of, he does not directly ask about Krishna's pastimes like that. So there is a particular step by step one asks, you know, from the basic subject matters to more and more elevated subject matters, like that.
So the manifestation just means that they are arranging in the order, because when the Lord is material cause, they are manifesting from the Lord. So what is the meaning of manifesting here?
I didn't get your point.
When the Lord is described the material cause in 2.6.
In 2.6, yeah.
So the sequence is from Lord's subtle sense comes the Tanmatra.
When 2.6 was described, that is not a chronological description. That talks about the source. What is the source? Here the proper order is discussed here.
Means how properly they came from Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. This is
order. This is the order. 2.6 described the source. What is the source? సత్వం చాస్య వినిర్భిన్నం మహాన్ దిష్ణ్యం ఉపావిశత్ చిత్తేనాంశేన ఏనాసౌ విజ్ఞానం ప్రతిపద్యతే. వెన్ లొకేషన్ ఇన్ ది హార్ట్ ఆఫ్ చిత్త దట్ బికేమ్ మేనిఫెస్టెడ్, దెన్ ద ప్రిసైడింగ్ డీటీ విష్ణు, ఆర్ సమ్టైమ్స్ ఇట్స్ కాల్డ్ వాసుదేవ్, హీ ఎంటర్డ్ దట్ పోర్షన్ అలాంగ్ విత్ ది అంశ ఆఫ్ చిత్త. అండ్ బై చిత్త విజ్ఞానం ప్రతిపద్యతే. విజ్ఞానం ఇస్ ట్రాన్స్లేటెడ్ ఇయర్ ఎస్ కాన్షియస్నెస్, ఓకే, ఆర్ యాస్ వీ సే సమ్టైమ్స్ రియలైజేషన్ ఆర్ అవేర్నెస్ యు కెన్ సే. దట్ ఈస్ హౌ ఇట్ ఇస్ డిస్క్రైబ్డ్ ఇన్ ద థర్డ్ క్యాంటో, యు నో లేటర్. ఇట్స్ మోర్ అవేర్నెస్ ప్రాబబ్లీ ఇస్ మచ్ మోర్ క్లోజర్ ఇఫ్ యు సీ ది సిమ్టమ్స్ డిస్క్రైబ్డ్ ఇన్ ది 26th చాప్టర్. So then further, how the various planetary systems also manifested from the universal form, that is also mentioned here. Shirshnosya daur darapadbyam kamna bir udapadyata gunanam vrittayo yeshu pratiyante suradayah. From the head of the universal form appeared Swarga, from his feet appeared the earth, from his navel area appeared the bhuvar loka. In these places one sees devatas and other beings who are transformations of the gunas. In the higher planetary systems, devatas and upadevatas, they stay. Human beings stay in the earthly planetary systems, bhuloka. And in the lower planetary systems, the other demoniac personalities, they stay. ఆత్యంతికేన సత్వేన దివం దేవా ప్రపేదిరే ధరాం రజస్వభావేన పణయోయే చ తాన్ అను. ఆత్యంతికేన సత్వేన, బై ప్రిడామినెన్స్ ఆఫ్ సత్వగుణ, దివం దేవాః ప్రపేదిరే, ద దేవతాస్ అచీవ్డ్ స్వర్గ. ఏ పణయః ధరాం, ద మ్యాన్కైండ్ అచీవ్డ్ ది అర్త్ రజస్వభావేన బికాస్ ఆఫ్ దేర్ ప్రిడామినెన్స్ ఆఫ్ రజోగుణ్. చ తాన్ అను, అలాంగ్ విత్ బీయింగ్స్ యూస్ఫుల్ ఫార్ సపోర్టింగ్ దర్ లైఫ్ లైక్ ది అనిమల్స్ ప్లాంట్స్ ఎక్సెట్రా, దే ఆల్సో పాపులేటెడ్ ది అర్త్లీ ప్లానటరీ సిస్టమ్ లైక్ దట్. సో ఊర్ధ్వం గచ్చంతి సత్వస్థ మధ్యే తిష్టంతి రాజస జగణ్యగుణ వృత్తిస్థ అధో గచ్చంతి తామస, దట్ ఈస్ డిస్క్రైబ్డ్. తార్తీయేన స్వభావేన భగవన్నాభిమాశ్రితాః ఉభయోరంతరం వ్యోమ ఏ రుద్ర పార్షదాం గణాః. తార్తీయేన స్వభావేన, విచ్ మీన్స్ బై ది నేచర్ ఆఫ్ తమోగుణ్, ఏ రుద్ర పార్షదాం గణాః, దోస్ ఫాలోవర్స్ ఆఫ్ రుద్ర, వ్యోమ ఆశ్రితాః. వ్యోమ హియర్ రిఫర్స్ టు ది భువర్లోక, which is the Bhagavan Nabim, which is considered to be the navel portion of the Lord. Ubayoho antaram, and it is between the Swarga and the earth. So Bhur, Bhuvar, Swarga. In the Bhuloka, the human beings are there. In the Swargaloka, the devatas are there. In between, in Vyoma or the Bhuvar Loka, are situated the Rudra Parshadas. Like that. ముఖతో వర్తత బ్రహ్మ పురుషస్య కురుద్వః యస్తోన్ముఖత్వాద్ వర్ణానాం ముఖ్యో బోద్బ్రాహ్మణో గురు. సో దిస్ దిస్ ఇస్ లైక్ అ కంబైన్డ్ డిస్క్రిప్షన్ ఆఫ్ ది 10th చాప్టర్ డిస్క్రిప్షన్ అండ్ ద 5th చాప్టర్ డిస్క్రిప్షన్ ఇఫ్ యు సీ. సో దీస్ డిస్క్రిప్షన్స్ ఆఫ్ ఫార్మేషన్ ఆఫ్ ప్లానెట్స్ అండ్ ది వేరియస్ వర్ణాశ్రమ్స్, దట్ ఈస్ ఆల్సో డిస్క్రైబ్డ్ హియర్. Oh, best of the Kurus, from the mouth of the universal form, the Vedas appeared. The Brahmanas, who are the chief amongst the castes, and the Gurus of the castes, because they are favorable towards the Vedas, they also appeared from the mouth of the universal form. So here, Prabhupada writes here in the purport, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 4.13, Chaturvaranyam Maya Srishtam Gunakarvam Vibhagashah. The four orders of human society developed with the order of the body of the gigantic form. The bodily divisions are the mouth, arms, waist and legs. Those who are situated on the mouth are called Brahmanas. Those who are situated on the arms are called Kshatriyas. Those who are situated on the waist are called Vaishyas. And those who are situated on the legs are called Shudras. Everyone is situated in the body of the Supreme in his gigantic Vishwarup form. In terms of the four orders, therefore, no caste is to be considered degraded because of being situated on a particular part of the body. In our own bodies, we do not show any actual difference in our treatment towards the hands or legs. Each and every part of the body is important, although the mouth is the most important of the bodily parts. If other parts are cut off from the body, a man can constitute his life. But if the mouth is cut off, one cannot live. Therefore, this most mouth in the sense, Prabhupada talks about the head. Therefore, this most important part of the body of the Lord is called the sitting place of the Brahmanas, who are inclined to the Vedic wisdom. One who is not inclined to the Vedic wisdom, but to mundane affairs, cannot be called a Brahmana, even if he is born of a Brahmana family or father. To have a Brahmana father does not qualify one as a Brahmana. The main qualification of a Brahmana is to be inclined to the Vedic wisdom. The Vedas are situated on the mouth of the Lord, and therefore anyone who is inclined to the Vedic wisdom is certainly situated on the mouth of the Lord, and he is a Brahmana. And then Prabhupada talks about who is a real Brahmana. A real Brahmana is a natural teacher or spiritual master. Unless one has Vedic knowledge, one cannot become a spiritual master. Prabhupada quotes this verse. Shatkarma nipuno vipro mantra tantra visharadah avaishnavo gurur nasyat vaishnava svapacho guru. So Prabhupada writes, the perfect knowledge of the Vedas is to know the Lord, which is the end of Vedanta. So therefore, one who has not accepted the Supreme Lord, Vishnu, he is not qualified to be a guru, even though he may be perfectly executing the duties of a Brahmana. Shatkarma, patan patan yajan yajan dana pratigraha. He may be perfectly practicing all these paths, but he is not a Brahmana. And Prabhupada also quotes from Chaitanya Charitamrita, kiba vipra kibanyasi shudra kene nai ei krishna tattva veta sei guru hoy. Like that. Then, Bahubhyo vartata kshatram kshatriyastadanuvratah yojatastrayate varnan paurushakantaka kshatat. From the arms of the universal form appeared the function of protection. Kshatram. Kshatram means the act of protecting. And those who perform that function are called kshatriyas. And they also are formed from the arms of the universal form. Tad anuvrata, who act according to that principle of kshatram, protection. Yaha jataha trayate varnan, and their job is to protect the other varnas, or other human beings. And the job of the vaishyas is to protect the animals. So, they protect the other varnas from kantaka kshatat, from troublesome aggressors who are compared to thorns. Kantaka means thorns. And the Kshatriyas do it because of their Paurusha, because of their brave nature or protective nature. Again, Prabhupada continuing the same discussion, he says, the word Anuvrata is significant. A person who follows the Kshatriya principles by protecting society from thieves and miscreants is called a Kshatriya, not the one who is simply born a Kshatriya. The conception of the caste system is always based on quality and not on the qualification of birth. The word Purusha is significant in this verse because the Kshatriyas are expected to represent the Purusha, Lord, who is the Lord, in giving protection to the Prajas, or all those who are born in the land and water. They are called Prajas. Whoever is born in land, whoever is born within water, in that particular kingdom, they are Prajas of that particular king. Protection is therefore meant for both man and the animals. In modern societies, the Prajas are not protected from the hands of thieves and miscreants. The modern democratic state, which has no Kshatriyas, is a government of the Vaishyas and the Shudras and not of Brahmanas and Kshatriyas as formerly. Vishovartanta tasyorvor loka vrittikarir vibhoho vaishyastadudbhavo vartam ninam yasamavartayat. Tasya urvoho, from the thighs of the universal form, avartanta loka vrittikarihi, appeared occupations such as farming, tad udbhava vartam, which gives sustenance to the people, and Vaishyas, they also appeared from the thighs of the universal form, who produce sustenance for all men. So the all men are sustained by Vaishyas, all the other castes, because they are the ones who produce the necessary grains, milk and milk products for the sustenance of all the other castes. They are born from the thighs of the universal form. Prabhupada talks about Vaishyas here in this purport. Human society's means of living is clearly mentioned here as Visha, or agriculture and the business of distributing agricultural products, which involves transport, banking, etc. Loka vrittikari, like that is mentioned. Industry is an artificial means of livelihood, and large scale industry especially is the source of all the problems of society. In Bhagavad Gita also, the duties of the Vaishyas who are engaged in Visha are stated as cow protection, agriculture and business. Then later Prabhupada writes, the exchange of produce by banking and transportation is a branch of this type of living. The exchange of produce by banking and transportation is a branch of this type of living. The Vaishyas are divided into many subsections. Okay. Some of them are called Kshetri or landowners. Some of them are called Krishana or land tillers. Some of them are called Tilavanik or grain raisers, and some are called Gandavanik or merchants in spices, and some are called Suvarnavanik or merchants in gold and banking. So Prabhupada himself, it is mentioned that he came in a Suvarnavanik family. So Prabhupada therefore it's very nicely describing, Vaishyas means, even within them, there are different categories who had their prescribed duties, Some of them grew, spices, some of them were landowners, some of them were involved only in tilling, some of them were involved in gold and banking, like that each one, and these occupations were very nicely imparted to the subsequent generations, and they perfected it, and there was, you know, very peaceful cooperation. Formerly, the Brahmanas were given all the necessities of life by the Kshatriyas and Vaishyas because they had no time to spend making a living. Which means Brahmanas had no idle time. If such Brahmanas are there, then the Kshatriyas and Vaishyas can take care of them nicely. The Kshatriyas would collect taxes from the Vaishyas and Shudras, but the Brahmanas were exempt from paying income tax or land revenue. That system of human society was so nice that there were no political, social and economic upheavals. The different castes or Varna classifications are therefore essential for maintaining a peaceful human society. Padbhyam bhagavato jagye shushrusha dharma siddhaye tasyam jata pura shudro yadvritya tushyate harihi. This is interesting. Bhagavatah padbhyam, from the feet of the universal form, jagye, what all appeared from the feet of the universal form, it is mentioned. First is shushrusha, service. Dharma siddhaye, service for accomplishing perfection of varnashram. That is called shushrusha, menial service. For all the kshatriyas needed menial servants, the vaishyas needed menial servants, and the brahmanas needed menial servants to accomplish their dharma of brahmana, kshatriya and vaishya. So therefore, that menial service, shushrusha, was born from the feet of the Lord. And the shudras who executed that shushrusha, okay, they also were born from the feet of the Lord. Yad vritya, by this vritti, harihi tushyate, the Lord is pleased. So by this vritti of menial service, the Lord is pleased. Okay, like that it is mentioned.
Mentioned that the thighs, Sutala and all these planetary systems in the feet, the Patal. So the Shudras who come, do they come from there and the Brahmanas from higher planetary?
No, nothing like that. It's not mentioned like that. So Prabhupada here writes in the purport, service is the real constitutional occupation of all living entities. The living entities are meant to render service to the Lord, and they can attain religious perfection by this service attitude. So every varna has a, in one sense, it has a favorable aspect. At the same time, you know, the flip side is also there. The Brahmanas, for example, they had very favorable, sattvic impressions, which are in one sense very good to practice devotional service. But at the same time, those sattvic impressions and good knowledge and discrimination gives them this independent nature, which is not very favorable for, in one sense, it's not very favorable for surrendering to the Supreme Lord. But they can very nicely understand the scriptures because of their intelligence, but at the same time, that independent nature pushes them in the opposite direction. It's difficult for them to surrender. And also that intelligence makes them interpret. That speculative tendency is also there. At the same time, the Shudras are the ones whose, they have not so favorable impressions, which are mostly tamoguni impressions. But at the same time, the favorable thing is that they are naturally inclined to render menial service, which is very, very favorable. If that is nicely cultivated, you know, they can be nicely guided to surrender to the Supreme Lord also. So every varna is like, in that sense, if you see, there is, as there are two sides of a coin, similarly for all varnas there is a flip side also. So service is the real constitutional occupation of all living entities. The living entities are meant to render service to the Lord, and they can attain religious perfection by this service attitude. One cannot attain religious perfection simply by speculating to attain theoretical knowledge. The Jnani division of spiritualists go on speculating only to distinguish the soul from matter, but they have no information of the activities of the soul after being liberated by knowledge. So therefore, if you see situation in any of these varnas is not said to be, you know, either favorable or unfavorable for taking up to devotional service. They don't make any difference in one sense. To take up to devotional service, one situation in a particular varnashram system does not give a very favorable, edge. No varna or ashram gives a favorable edge to take up to devotional service. Therefore, the other day we saw, Krishna says, Yajante Satvika Devan Yaksharaksham Sirajasan Pretan Bhutaganans Chanye Yajante Tamasajana. That the modes push people to worship certain kinds of personalities, either the devatas or the bhutas and pretaganas or the yakshas. But the modes cannot push, even though it may be sattva guna, it cannot push one to worship the Supreme Lord, because that is not the qualification only. So one has to gain the association of devotees, and by developing proper appreciation of devotees, one gains sukriti, by which one gets the qualification to perform devotional service unto the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, merely being situated in mode of goodness does not necessarily guarantee that one is more favorable to take up to worship the Supreme Lord. If that is the case, then when Prabhupada went to the United States, he must have attracted people who are more stably situated, you know, more closer to mode of goodness. But actually the kind of people whom he attracted were like practically, you know, in tamoguna only, most of them. So therefore that does not, and it's not that Prabhupada did not have access to other people. When Prabhupada went to initially Dr. Mishra's that yoga classes, in that it is mentioned that quite stable, well-situated people were also attending. And sometimes they got to hear from Prabhupada also. But there is no mention of anyone joining Prabhupada from that group. Like that.
Ete varna swadharmena yajanti swagurum harim shraddayatma vishuddhyartam yajjata sahavritti bihi.
All these varnas who appeared along with their occupations from the universal form faithfully worship the Lord as their guru, swagurum harim, by performing their duties for the purpose of purification. Swakarmanam tam abhyarcha siddhim vindati manava. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. And also in Bhagavatam also, in the 11th canto it is mentioned, yayesham purusham sakshat atma prabhavam ishwaram na bhajanti avajananti sthanat brashtat patantyadaha. How it is mentioned that mukabahuru padebhya purushasya ashramaihi saha chatvare jagnire varna gunair vipradayair pratak. And then the next verse comes. So he says that all the four varnas and ashramas, they emanate from the various bodily parts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And just like it is the duty of the parts of the body to serve the whole body, similarly it is the duty of all the four varnas and ashramas to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But neglecting this injunction, if someone disrespects the Supreme Lord, then he falls down from his position. That's what this 11th canto verse says. So by default, all the people within Varnashram, they are expected to worship the Supreme Lord at least as a part of their prescribed duties. Vishuddhyartham, for the purpose of purification, by performing their duties. Like that. Etat chattar bhagavato daiva karmatma rupinah kashraddayat upakartum yoga maya balodayam. O Vidura, kaha shraddadyat, who can hope etat bhagavatah upakartum, who can hope to describe fully this form? So Maitreya, he has spoken some 20 odd verses describing this universal form. And then he is telling to Vidura, my dear Vidura, who can hope to completely describe this universal form? Yoga maya balodayam, which arose from the yoga maya. Daiva karmatma rupinaha, and whose nature is time and karma. Kala shakti and karma shakti are part of this virat form. So, who can expect to completely describe this form? See, yoga maya, we understand sometimes these terminologies are also sometimes used interchangeably, many times if you see. But actually it means Mahamaya only here, because the universal form is a product of the material energy of the Lord only. But in one sense if you see, they are non-different, because the source of Mahamaya is also yoga maya only. Like that. So Prabhupada here writes in the purport. So starting from this purport, Prabhupada is sort of very heavy on the philosophers, mental speculators. So Prabhupada writes, the froggish philosophers may go on with their mental speculations on the subject matter of the Virat, the gigantic form exhibited by the Yogamaya, internal potency of the Supreme Lord. But factually, no one can measure such a vast exhibition. That's exactly what here Maitreya is telling. Who can hope to describe this Virat form completely? In Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna, the recognized devotee of the Lord, said, O my Lord, O gigantic Vishwarup form, O master of the universe, I see innumerable hands, bodies, mouths and eyes in all directions, and they are all unlimited. I cannot find the end of this manifestation, nor do I see the middle, nor the beginning. Bhagavad Gita was specifically spoken to Arjuna, and the Vishwarup was exhibited before him at his request. He was awarded the specific eyes to see the Vishwarup. Yet, although he was able to see the Lord's innumerable hands and mouths, he was unable to see him completely. Since Arjuna was unable to estimate the length and breadth of the potency of the Lord, who else would be able to do so? Prabhupada is writing. He was specifically given those Divya Chakshu to see that form of the Lord. Even after getting those eyes, he was totally bewildered and he said, I am not able to understand anything. So Prabhupada is asking, if even Arjuna could not understand, then who else is capable of understanding? Like that. And then finally Prabhupada ends the purport by mentioning, the best path is to become a cool-headed, submissive devotee of the Lord. Try to hear about the Lord from the bona fide spiritual master and thus serve the Lord in transcendental loving service, as suggested in the previous verse. Like that. Cool-headed, submissive devotee of the Lord. and try to hear about the Lord from the bona fide spiritual master, like that.
Hare Krishna, because the theme will change. So, like just now you were talking about the four varnas, they do not have an edge. None of these varnas have an edge towards devotional service. So, when we talk about, like you were just mentioning that Prabhupada went to the West and he did not preach to people who are in mode of goodness or something like that. But we say that the Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, if it is differentiated according to the guna and karma, not according to the birth, that system is, I think that is what is coming over here. So that system, in that system, Brahmanas have quite a large edge, you know, from the counterpart like Shudra or something, because of the impressions, the swabhava which they have achieved or attained after so many births, so many lives in this world, they have an edge. That is why they are called the ones who can, like those who can come closer to the Lord. I mean to say, in the terms of, they are more favorably situated to be able to practice devotional service steadily. Although devotional service is not something which is bound by the Varna only. Like only Brahmana can practice, Shudra cannot practice. But if you say, if both of them start practicing, then the Brahmana does have an edge in the sense of he has the favorable impressions which can push him to go closer to the Lord.
Yeah.
So is that not the right understanding?
Correct. Because Krishna himself says, yes, Prabhuji.
For taking up Krishna consciousness, there is no restriction. But for maintaining, one need to be in goodness.
Yeah.
So when Prabhupada went, he could make them. But then he told them, now you have to come to mode of goodness, because you want to maintain means you need to be a Brahmana, at least in that category.
Yeah, yeah.
Otherwise there is no qualification.
Correct. So that's exactly also, to take up to Krishna consciousness, no one has a specific edge, but having taken up, definitely favorable impressions, you know, help one progress further very easily. Yeah, that is correct.
Even like I was hearing from one of the senior Vaishnavas, he was mentioning that among the devotees who came to Srila Prabhupada in the beginning, most of them, those who we find today, they were those who were very thoughtful in their nature, like Yamuna Mataji, for example, and many others. Like they were very thoughtful in the sense that quality of a Brahmana who can think beyond the gross platform and see the hand of the Lord, see the hand of spiritual master, and desire to reciprocate with that, which is like a little more subtle than the grosser reciprocation which one may give, maybe because of his impressions, which are not allowing him to go deeper. So in that sense, the favorability after accepting is there for those who are more thoughtful or brahmanically inclined. That way I was saying.
Yeah. That's why Krishna says, he says, Striyo Vaishyas Tata Shuddhas Tepiyanti Paramgatim, he mentions, who anyone can take. But then having said that, he says, Kim Punar Brahmana Punya Bhaktya Rajarshayas Tata Anityam Asukam Lokam Imam Prapya Vajaswama. He said, if they can take, then what then to speak of? If they can practice, what then to speak of the pious Brahmanas, he says. Yeah, definitely pious impressions after taking up to devotional service, and they certainly help. But by a strong sense of surrender, if that is there, then even one with, you know, unfavorable impressions can progress faster. Like that. Okay. So then he says, Tatapi kirta yamyanga yata mati yata shrutam Kirtim Hare Swam Satkartum Giram Anyabhida Satim. Very interesting verse that Maitreya speaks here to Vidura. He says, actually no one is capable of describing the true extent or the true glory of this Virat form of the Lord. Tatapi, but still, Kirtayamyanga. But still I have described to you Harehe Kirtim, the glories of the Lord. Because Vidura may ask, if no one can describe the form of the Lord, then what have you done? He says, but still I have described to you the glories of the Lord, yata shrutam yata mati, to the extent I have heard and understood, to that extent I have described to you. Swam satkartum, for my own purification, as all devotees say, sitting on the Vyasasana, you know, I am not qualified to speak, but for my own purification, let me speak. So same, it's coming in parampara, because Maitreya himself says, Swam satkartum, for my own purification, I have spoken. And he says, but anyways, if I don't speak this, what else would I be speaking? Anya abhida asatim giram. If I am not speaking this subject matter, my glorification may not be perfect. My understanding may not be perfect. But still, just because my understanding and glorification is not perfect, just because of the, if I stop glorifying, what other subject matter do I have to speak? This tongue is unchaste. I would be speaking other nonsense subject matters. Therefore, swam satkartum, for my own purification, I am speaking these subject matters. Like that Maitreya, in a very humble mood, he is expressing himself to Vidura, like this.
Oji, question. How to understand Vritasur?
Huh?
Vritasur, he was such a big demonic personality. But he was still situated so properly like a devotee inside. How he could do both? And how you can reconcile such two extremes in one person?
Two extremes in one person. See, in one case is, we know the history that he was in one sense cursed. But at the same time he was a great devotee. So therefore his external situation did not affect his his devotional progress that he had made in his previous life as Chitraketu Maharaj. It did not affect. Even though he was unfairly cursed in one sense by Mother Parvati, so those words should not go false. So he took up the body of a demon. But at the same time, whatever devotional progress that he had made as Chitraketu Maharaj, that was also not lost.
So nature can overpower one's desire also and force one to do what nature has to do through the person?
Yeah, nature can push one in one direction, it is possible. But the response, but the free will is there to respond to the pushing. That's why it is mentioned, Vacho Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam, Jihva Vegam, Udaropastha Vegam, Etan Vegan Yo Vishaheta Dira. So there is an option to tolerate the pushings, and there is an option to succumb to the pushings also. So that free will is there. Just because nature is there pushing one in one direction, it is not necessary that one has to respond to that pushing.
So how did Vritasura not control? He is a great devotee. The push is there from nature, but he was not able to control.
He was not able to control?
Control the you know, destruction, all that he did. He was a pure devotee and nature from the other side is pushing him. And he was unable to control.
Oh, in one sense, if you see, on the battlefield, while fighting Indra, as a part of the demoniac side, it was expected and he was perfectly fighting. Even though he knew that Indra was destined to kill him, still he fought perfectly. Okay? And even though he knew, it's not that he gave up his fight. Even in that fight, if you see, he knew that Indra would kill him, but still, he only inspired Indra to use his thunderbolt and all that. But at the same time, he swallowed Indra also, because it's not that he gave up. As a demon fighting against Indra, that was his duty and he was doing his duty. But at the same time, you know, his surrender to the Supreme Lord was complete. So,
as a demon duty, so Prahlad Maharaj as a demon did not do his duty. How do we understand? See that.
Prabhuji has some answer to this question. I can tell. Yes, Prabhu.
He is protecting, his duty is to protect the people on his side. So that is his duty. And on behalf of them, he is fighting with Indra. So he is doing his duty in that way. And Prahlad Maharaj as a king, he was doing his duty. So both are doing their duties. He has to protect his subjects. That is the duty.
Yeah. Sankhyayana, yeah, correct. Na? Guru of Maitreya, na? Was it Brihaspati? Brihaspati and? Sankhya Muni. Oh, Sankhyan Muni is the guru of Brihaspati and Maitreya. Yeah. So here, Srila Prabhupada writes, the purport, the purification of the conditioned soul necessitates purification of his consciousness. By the presence of consciousness, the presence of the transcendental soul is verified. And as soon as consciousness leaves the body, the material body is not active. And then later Prabhupada writes, consciousness cannot be inactive. But if it is not purely engaged, it will be engaged in impure activities. Same thing that Maitreya is telling. Giram anya abhida asatim. If the gira or the words are not engaged in glorifying the Lord, then it is going to be engaged in glorifying other improper subject matters. Therefore, Maitreya wants to describe the Lord as otherwise the consciousness will be engaged in mundane acts. But this knowledge of the Lord is not a product of research, but it comes in the parampara. Therefore, purification of existence means engaging body, mind and speech in service of the Lord. This is the process of Tridandi Sannyas, Prabhupada writes. Like that. Then further, Maitreya describes that this is the highest engaging one's sense of hearing or chanting in the glories of the Lord. That is the highest perfection that he is indicating in the 37th verse. Very nice verse. Ekantalabam vachasonupumsam shushlokamauler gunavadamahuhu Shutescha vidvad virupakritayam katasudayam upasamprayogam. He said, O Vidura, ahuhu, it is said, Shushloka mauler gunavadam. Shushloka mauli means the Supreme Lord. Best amongst the persons who is described by the choicest words. That is the meaning of Shushloka mauli. It is said that describing the qualities of the Lord, ekanta labam means the highest attainment, vachasonu pumsam, the highest attainment one can attain by speaking words is by using those words in glorifying the Supreme Lord. Upasamprayogam, Shrutehe upasamprayogam. And the highest attainment one can attain by the process of hearing is katasudayam, is hearing the nectarian topics about the activities of the Supreme Lord. Vidvadbir upakritayam, which are described by the learned devotees. Okay, so here Maitreya is establishing that ultimately the quality of Krishna Katha may not be super excellent, but at least if the hearer and the speaker are sincere, yatamati yatashrutam, to whatever extent they have understood, to whatever they, based on whatever they have heard, if they sincerely share with each other, then that is described as the highest attainment of the process of hearing or chanting. It need not be, it may not be, you know, perfect understanding also, but if that sincerity is there, sincerely if one has, one is reproducing what one has heard and understood, then that is perfection. That's what Maitreya is describing here. So the quality of Krishna Katha does not matter, but the sincerity of the speaker and hearer, that's what matters. Srila Prabhupada here writes in the purport, impersonalists are not aware of the extent of bliss in discussing transcendental topics. And because they think that the activities of the Supreme Lord are also mundane, they don't want to hear about it. Why the impersonalists are not so attached to hearing Krishna Katha? Because they don't believe in it. Because they don't believe in form of the Lord, what then to speak of activities? But if they were, but if those topics of Krishna's pastimes were mundane, then someone like Maitreya Muni would never discuss about it. Because these people are highly advanced and they are extremely conscious about what comes out of their mouth. So if it was a mundane topic, they would never discuss about it. So Prabhupada is, you know, giving a very logical point here. Therefore, describing his acts is the highest perfection of speaking, and hearing about it is the highest perfection of hearing. Like that. Ekantalabam vachasonu pumsam. Ekantalabam means the topmost achievement that a person can achieve by speaking words is to use their those words to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like that. Atmano vasito vatsa mahima kavinadina samvatsara sahasrante diya yoga vipakkaya. O Vidura, kavina adina, even Brahma, avasitaha mahima, even Brahma could not comprehend the powers of the Lord. Samvatsara sahasrante, even after thousands of years of diya yoga vipakkaya, even after performing thousands of years of mature yoga, Brahmaji could not understand the extent of powers of the Supreme Lord. Like that. But then, what did Brahmaji have to say about this in the second canto? Can you recall? Even the Lord cannot comprehend the extent of his powers. But he said, we are not concerned about knowing the extent of the Lord's powers, but we are interested in glorifying to whatever extent we have understood. Like that. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, there are some froggish philosophers who want to know the Supreme Soul by means of philosophy and mental speculation. And when the devotees who are to some extent in knowledge of the Supreme Lord admit that the glories of the Lord are inestimable and inconceivable, the froggish philosophers adversely criticize them. If the devotees say, no one can understand the extent of the prowess of the Supreme Lord, then they start criticizing them. Because it's an insult to their intellect and their speculation. Lord Brahma underwent a severe type of meditation for 1,000 celestial years, yet he said that the glories of the Lord are inconceivable. Therefore, what can the froggish philosophers hope to gain from their mental speculations? Like that. Then further Prabhupada writes, it is said in the Brahma Samhita that the mental speculator may fly through the sky of speculation with the velocity of the mind. Pantastu koti shatavatsara sampragamyo vayo ratapi manaso munipungavanam. So he says, Prabhupada writes, the mental speculator may fly through the sky of speculation with the velocity of the mind or the wind for thousands of millions of years, and still he will find it inconceivable. The devotees, however, do not waste time in such vain searching after knowledge of the Supreme, but they submissively hear the glories of the Lord from bona fide devotees. Like that. Devotional service is manifested by the primary process of hearing and chanting about the activities of the Lord. This transcendental method practiced by the Mahatmas gives them sufficient knowledge of the Lord, because if the Lord can at all be known to some extent, it is only through the means of devotional service and no other way. So the devotees understand this and they submissively hear from bona fide sources. Then Maitreya continues, Ato Bhagavato Maya Mayinamapi Mohini Yat Swayam Chatma Vartatma Naveda Kimuta Pare. Ataha, therefore, Bhagavataha Maya, the Lord's Maya, Mohini, she bewilders, Mayinamapi, the all lower creatures who are experts at enjoying Maya. Yat Swayam Na Veda Atma Vartatma Kim Uta Apare. So Maitreya is also making the same statement here. Yat Swayam, because the Lord Himself Na Veda does not know Atma Vartatma, the extent of His own glories, Kim Uta Apare, what then to speak of others? How can they know the extent of the Lord's glories? Like that. Again Prabhupada writes in the purport, the froggish philosophers and mundane wranglers in science and mathematical calculation may not believe in the inconceivable potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but they are sometimes puzzled by the wonderful jugglery of man and nature. Such jugglers and magicians of the mundane world are actually puzzled by the jugglery of the Lord in His transcendental activities. But they try to adjust their bewilderment by saying that it is all mythology. So they are all bewildered, but they don't want to admit that they are bewildered. So they call it mythology. There is, however, nothing impossible or mythological in the Supreme Omnipotent Person. The most wonderful puzzle for the mundane wranglers is that while they remain calculating the length and breadth of the unlimited potency of the Supreme Person, His faithful devotees are set free from the bondage of material engagement simply by appreciating the wonderful jugglery of the Supreme in the practical field. This very, very amazing statement Prabhupada writes here. I'll read again. The most wonderful puzzle for the mundane wranglers is that while they remain calculating the length and breadth of the unlimited potency of the Supreme Person, His faithful devotees are set free from the bondage of material engagement simply by appreciating the wonderful jugglery of the Supreme Person in the practical field. So, in the third canto, that is a verse that Uddhava speaks, glorifying the inconceivable potency of the Supreme Lord. If anyone can remember it, you can try to help me. Bhavo abhavasyate durgashrayo ata aribayat palayanam kalatmano yad pramadayutashrama swatman rate kidyati dhir vidamiha. Like that, I'm not able to recall the first line. I think it must be there in the karmanyanihasya bhavo abhavasyate. Durgashrayo ata aribayat palayanam. So Uddhava says that, my dear Lord, one thing that really bewilders me, Uddhava being one of the closest associates of Krishna outside Vrindavan, he says, karmani anihasya, the scriptures say that you do not have any activities, but you perform so many activities. Bhavo abhavasyate. The scriptures say that you do not take birth, but you still take birth as the mother of, as the son of Devaki and Vasudev. Durgashrayo ata aribayat palayanam. You are feared by fear personified, but you run in the battlefield fearing some other mortal being, sometimes Kalayavan or whomever, or Jarasandha. Swatman rate kidyati dhir vidamiha. He says that these things bewilder even the most intelligent of people. So commenting on this verse, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes that what really Uddhava means is that if one says that, hey, actually these are not very inconceivable activities. When the Shastras say he has no birth, it means he has no material birth. When the Shastras say that he performs no activities, then it means he performs no material activities. Like that, you know, they may give various explanations to reconcile, okay, and conclude that actually there is nothing inconceivable. You know, it's very clearly understood. Whoever makes such statements to make the Supreme Lord seem conceivable, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that it means that they are not actually intelligent. He says a real intelligent person is actually bewildered. But he is not bothered by his bewilderment. Not that he stops performing his prescribed duty, not that he stops performing his devotional service. He is bewildered, but he is happily bewildered. Like Lord Shiva, after the Mohini Murthy episode, he was bewildered, but he was happy about it. He glorified his master, and he was very happy and satisfied. And Uddhava also says the same thing. Those who think that the activities of the Supreme Lord can be somehow understood by jugglery or any other or speculation, they are actually not intelligent. Real intelligent person is bewildered, but he is not bothered about his bewilderment. He is happy. He is happy worshipping. That does not stop his, or that does not hinder his performance of devotional service. Like that. The devotees of the Lord see the wonderful dexterity in everything with which they come in contact in all circumstances of eating, sleeping, working, etc. A small banyan fruit contains thousands of small seeds, and each seed holds the potency of another tree, which again holds the potency of many millions of such fruits as causes and effects. So the trees and seeds engage the devotees in meditation about the activities of the Lord. Just seeing a tree and the seeds that come from the fruits of that tree, Prabhupada writes, it engages the devotees in meditation about the activities of the Lord, while the mundane wranglers waste time in dry speculation and mental concoction, which are fruitless in both this life and the next. In spite of their pride in speculation, they can never appreciate the simple potential activities of the banyan tree. Such speculators are poor souls destined to remain in matter perpetually. You know, Prabhupada with a lot of compassion speaking this sentence. So finally, Maitreya concludes this chapter. He says, Yato prapyanya vartanta vachascha manasasaha aham chanyaime devas tasmai bhagavate namaha. Namaha aham, I offer my respects. Tasmai bhagavate, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yataha vachaha manasasaha, whom mind along with the words, anya ime devaha and all the other devatas including Rudra etc. aprapya, could not understand, nyavartanta, they tried and they gave up the endeavor. The words tried, the mind tried, the devatas including Brahmaji, Lord Shiva, all of them tried, but they could not understand and they gave up. Like that. And I offer my respectful obeisances unto that Supreme Lord. Again, Prabhupada continues, the froggish calculator may raise the objection that if the absolute is unknowable, even by the controlling deities of speech, mind and ego, namely the Vedas, the Brahma and Rudra and all the demigods headed by Brihaspati, then why should the devotees be so interested in this unknown object? If such exalted personalities cannot know the Supreme Lord, then why should the devotees be so interested in knowing this unknown object? The answer is that the transcendental ecstasy enjoyed by the devotees in delineating the pastimes of the Lord is certainly unknown to non-devotees and mental speculators. Just the mere discussion of pastimes of the Supreme Lord is in itself so sweet and ecstatic that these mental speculators cannot understand. Unless one relishes transcendental joy, naturally one will come back from his speculations and concocted conclusions, because he will see them as neither factual nor enjoyable. The devotees can at least know that the absolute truth is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu, as the Vedic hymns confirm, Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam Sada Pashyanti Suraya. So Prabhupada says, they may not understand the Supreme Lord completely, but at least they will understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and he should be worshipped, and this is how you worship the Supreme Lord. At least that much they would know. Bhagavad Gita also confirms this fact, Vedaischa Sarvair Ahameva Vedya. By culture of Vedic knowledge, one must know Lord Krishna and should not falsely speculate on the word aham or I. The only method for understanding the Supreme Truth is devotional service, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktya Mam Abhijanati Yavanyaschasmi Tattvatah. Only by devotional service can one know the ultimate truth, that the ultimate truth is the Personality of Godhead, and that Brahman and Paramatma are only his partial features. This is confirmed in this verse by the great sage Maitreya. With devotion, he offers his sincere surrender, Namaha, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavate. One has to follow in the footsteps of great sages and devotees like Maitreya and Vidura. Maitreya and Vidura, Maharaj Parikshit and Shukadeva Goswami, and engage in the transcendental devotional service of the Lord. If one would know his ultimate feature, which is above Brahman and Paramatma. If one would know the Supreme Lord's ultimate feature, which is Bhagavan feature, which is above Brahman and Paramatma. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the third canto, 6th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Creation of the Universal Form. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Oh, questions, yeah.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, like in the 9th chapter, 8th chapter, and here 3.6 again, several times this theme has come that we cannot know the Lord completely. So, the also it is said here again and again that Lord Himself cannot know Himself completely. So the logic which we gave for that was because, as you said, the competition between the Lord's Hiladni potency and Samvit potency. So because of that, it is not a blemish on the Lord to not know Himself. So we are basically talking from the Leela perspective that actually even the Lord cannot know His glory, although He Himself in one sense knows it because He is the complete supreme in that sense from the Tattva point of view when we say. But when we say from the Leela, because He Himself keeps expanding, His bliss keeps expanding, so He therefore cannot know. So similarly, I just wanted to know, when we say that the devotee cannot know Lord completely, so are we speaking it from the perspective that when the devotee starts knowing the Lord, the bliss which he receives is so much that there is now again a competition between the more he comes to the more he wants to come to know. And the more he wants to realize the Lord completely and serve, of course, when I say knowledge in that, the service is included because only through service the Lord reveals. So is it we are talking from that perspective? Because elsewhere I had also heard that the devotee, when we say the jiva, jiva is sat, chit and ananda. So this chit potency, it means that the jiva has sufficient knowledge for whatever service he has to do in the spiritual world or in the relationship with the Lord. And more than that is not required. So I'm just wanting to ask this, what is the meaning of this?
Prabhupada, in one of his purports, he writes that a pure devotee knows, has sufficient knowledge to go back home, back to Godhead. That's what he says. But that knowledge may not include understanding the Supreme Lord completely in all his features, but that is not necessary. It's sufficient, as you said, sufficient to perform his service to the Supreme Lord in the spiritual world, sufficient for him to go back home, back to Godhead. That's how Prabhupada is explaining the purport.